Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our 2021 annual membership meeting. As you all are entering in, please drop your name, state, and chapter in the chat so we can see where everybody's tuning in from. We'll give everybody just a couple of minutes, and also continue to mute yourselves as you guys are getting in and settled. All right, so we will get started. So just to go over some housekeeping so that we play nice in the garden with each other. Again, put your introductions in the chat, your name, state, and which chapter you're representing. We will have space for comments and questions at the end, but you are free to use the chat to drop any comments or questions as we're going. We will be providing links that we're sharing throughout the presentation today. And we'll also be making those available early next week as we start summarizing today's presentation. This meeting is being recorded. We will be sharing it post the completion of the meeting today. That'll be available in your member account. We also have closed captioning turned on to make this meeting more accessible to all of our members. You can make adjustments to your screen specifically if you'd like to turn that off. It looks different for different people, but there is that option there if you find that distracting. And then please, just as a reminder, keep yourself muted. We get background noise and it's difficult to concentrate on information that's being shared. So mute, mute, mute. What we're gonna go over today is we're gonna hear from Sally for a few minutes. She's gonna kick us off and share on a couple of topics that we've been hearing a lot about. We're going to introduce the National Board and take a minute to recognize some service. And we'll also introduce the National Staff and Contracted Staff Members. We're gonna review 2020's annual meeting minutes and approve those. And then we're gonna get into the heart of the meeting today, which is really reporting on the state of the organization and all the great work that's been happening over the last 12 months. And then we will wrap up, we will start, we'll open the floor for questions and comments, and then we will wrap up the meeting shortly thereafter. So I'm handing this off to Sally. So Sally, the floor is yours.
I really do appreciate you attending today's meeting. You could be doing other things. And so this is just a great sign of your dedication to the organization. So I just wanted to say that last year in September, I helmed an annual meeting that was considerably different because at that time, you may recall, we didn't have an executive director. We had a few staff. The board were actually, members of the board were doing a lot of staff work. We were in the midst of a pandemic. Of course, it looks like we still are and could be for a while. We were basically in great chaos and peril. Not as an organization, but there was a lot going on. So we've made remarkable strides over the past year. I hope you have felt those changes, the positive changes. A lot of that is because of the excellent staff we have. So I want to remember to recognize staff to this important, being so important to our ability to go away. Talking to Zoom, sorry. Carl can't log in. But anyway, I wanted to say that a lot of what we've been trying to do this past year, and I think very successfully so, is regaining our footing. We had a lot thrown at us. I think we've managed to thrive despite all these issues. The board has spent a lot of time working with Jen and staff, kind of rejiggering things. I think that's an okay word to use. Anyway, but we realize that we have a lot more issues to plow through. And I hope that the coming year, we will be able to pick up on some of the other issues out there, such as a big one being social equity. I know it's important to a lot of people. One of our barriers is reaching communities in need. We've started doing a little bit of that with the Seeds for Education program, trying to be more accessible. Climate change is a huge issue, and I think that we need to be better at describing how and showing how what we're doing with our approach to landscaping will help make, will help, a big thing I'm concerned about is carbon sequestration, but being able to enunciate how this is a way people can make a difference. Something that is kind of new to me, and it's something that Lisa Olson brought to my attention, but before I could heavily research it, so I'm not very literate, in the idea of land acknowledgement and indigenous people, and how a lot of the problems that we're facing now are because of poor management of the land, and how this is an issue that we can help help echo, or at least get out there. Even simple things like what is a native plant? And some of that is very much dependent on a cultural definition. So we do have, we're getting there. I wanted to go ahead and acknowledge that the Native R statement was, I think, an important part of us getting back in acknowledging and articulating these issues as an organization. And something else that's going on, and a lot at the chapter level, but having, how do you like this alliteration, cohesive conservation community conversations. So something else that we're looking both at a national level and locally is how to evaluate and to join alliances with other similarly positioned organizations. And I know a lot of you are members of multiple organizations. This is something that we need to help chapters with in terms of gaining more power locally by working with others. All right. And now I would like to introduce next. There we go. Our newly elected officers. I was just at the Thursday's board meeting, stuck being president again for another year. I'm being irreverent. It is my honor to be your president for the next year. Loris, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Loris Damoreaux, and I am honored to be serving as the vice president for another year. From Ann Arbor, Michigan.
There we go. And you may remember Loris was also a member of Fox Valley chapter and served as president, I believe. So she's had many years of service to the organization. Rita?
Hi, I'm Rita Ulrich, and I have the dubious honor of serving as secretary. It's a job nobody wants. So there's a sort of, it's a default position. Nonetheless, it's actually very interesting and fun and rewarding to be part of the executive committee and work with other officers and everyone else. So.
And she doesn't look like a desk wig. Carl, were you able to log in?
Last I heard was no.
Okay. Well, that's Carl Ackerman. He's a force to be reckoned with as treasurer and as a, I think he's still president of the Gibson Woods chapter. All right. Oh, Jim says that Rita's service as secretary is invaluable and that she's also the chair of the governance committee. So rah-rah, we all support each other. Thank you, Jim. If we could go one by one, in order from top left to bottom right, the current board of directors, I'd like you to just quickly introduce yourself and where you're from. Okay, Marty, are you there? All right. I think JD Carlson is off hiking in the woods somewhere. Eric?
Yes, I'm Eric Fuselet. Happy to be a member of the board of directors, which has joined this year, and also be serving on the governance committee. And I'm from Northwest Arkansas, where I serve as the president of the Ozark chapter.
Michelle?
Hi, I'm Michelle Hensey. I'm from Westchester, Pennsylvania, and also honored to be a board member for the next few years and really watch the transformation that Jen and her team have brought to the organization just in this short time.
You're also the chair of the
SFE, the Seeds for Education Committee.
Holly, if you're there.
I'm here.
Oh, yay.
I coming live at you from my hawk in the office. I am Holly Ladiman. I am on the board for the national as well as the president for Columbus chapter. I am also extremely honored to be here just starting out this year and really excited about serving in this capacity, and we're going to have a great year.
All right. Thank you, Holly. Jim.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jim Posnack. I'm a national board member and also honored to be the volunteer general counsel for Wild Ones. I'm a rank and file member of the West Cook chapter.
All right. Carrie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Carrie Radloff with the Les Hills chapter based in Northwest Iowa, specifically right now the Sioux City area. I serve with the governance committee, and with the chapter, I'm a membership chair.
Thank you, Carrie. Matthew? I don't remember him. I think he was visiting his parents, but if he's here, going once, going twice. And then Pam Todd is also, I can't remember if it was her son's graduation or it was her daughter's engagement party. But Matthew and Pam are working on the honorary director program. Matthew has been in charge of the photo contest. And Pam is serving as the chair of the grants committee. And so she's been doing a lot of work on the Stanley Smith Horticultural Trust grant, which has been awesome this past year. So now you see the board. You may have seen in the newsletter that we are on occasion asking for people to volunteer to be on the board. So we'll be looking for new board members, I believe, in 2022. That's next year. So keep that in mind. And now I'm going to turn it over to Jen, right? Okay, Loris. Okay.
Yes, I would like to acknowledge some board members who have stepped off this last year. And the first one is Marty Agler, who served on the board as our internal auditor. For many years, she provided additional support to our finances, and we are grateful for her service. I would also like to acknowledge Janice Hand. She was our illustrious president from the autumn of 2017 until the autumn of 2019. And she championed our organization through some very challenging years. Mm-hmm. She continued her service on the board until the end of 2020. And during that time, she served in many roles. Particularly important is the development of our ongoing strategic plan. So thank you, Janice, for all that good work and leadership. And I would also like to acknowledge Ellen Foltz. Ellen provided valuable native plant information and knowledge during her term, and she also served as the Seeds for Education chair. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Loris. So Jen Ainsworth, executive director, I'm just coming up on my first year. So I started in October of last year. And as I'm scrolling through participants, many of you I've had some meetings with, so welcome back. And those of you who are new to meetings with me, I'm glad that we've had the opportunity to somewhat connect kind of face to face. So I'd like to introduce staff and our contracted team. So Rachel, you want to introduce yourself first?
Hi, I am Rachel Chekolinski. I started out as the administrative assistant in December and was recently promoted to the membership coordinator. So I am in the national office here in Neenah, Wisconsin.
Yes, thank you. And yes, I'm in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, is my hometown. Katie.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm Katie Huebner. I'm also located in the Neenah office, and I am the mission manager for Wild Ones, and I handle all of our social media communications and getting our programs up and running and also assist with our website. So thank you.
And Katie just celebrated her 1-year anniversary 11 days ago. So congratulations, Katie, and thanks for all you're doing here. Lisa.
Hello, everyone. I am the newest staff member. I joined the team in July and have been busily getting up to speed. I came from the Front Range chapter. I was chapter president for about 18 or so odd months there. And I'm really excited to step into the role of chapter liaison, where I will be focused on connecting all the chapters and really trying to tap the expertise that is out there in our chapter leadership and connect everybody, get everybody working together and out moving the mission forward as you all are doing. So thank you for coming today.
Excellent. Thanks, Lisa. And then we've got a handful of folks that we worked with that are contracted to work with the national office. So we've got Jessica Gruberis from Nonprofit Bookkeeping. She's one of our bookkeepers. We've got David Krizniak. He is our IT contractor. So if you're submitting support tickets, he's one of the individuals who's helping that. And he has also been doing all of the work behind the membership account system. We've got Kevin Rao, who is one of the handful of people that work on the journal, but he's responsible for the design and layout and how it's all presented. We've got Barb Schmitz, who is our journal editor. So she's actually the one that you all are reaching when you email journal@wildwoods.org and you're sharing stories or pictures of your gardens and things like that. And then we've got Jeremy Van Graal, who is the senior bookkeeper of Nonprofit Bookkeeping, which is the accounting service we use. So all lots of hands contributing to Wild Ones and our work and mission that we're doing. Okay, so I'm going to hand this over to Rita. She is going to take us through 2020 annual membership meeting minutes. Rita, you can take it away when you are ready.
Okay. A couple of highlights. We at that meeting, we had newly elected board members who were Carl Ackerman, Laura Stamaro, Janice Hand had been reelected, Roberta Jansen, and Laura Clem, Jim Posnack and Matt Ross. We've lost Roberta and Laura, sadly, because they had other things that needed attention. And last year was intense, mm-hmm. I'll tell you. And also continuing board members at that time, Ellen Foulkes, Marty Angler, and Pam Todd. Janice announced that we had won a 2020 APEX award, which is for publications, and ours was in the area of environmental publications, which really was recognition for the excellent work of contributors and the editor, Barb Schmidt, and the layout. Sally, our president at the time, presented outgoing board members, Rick Sanders and Karen Severson, who were on the board for a number of years, quite a number of years, for their distinguished service. We had a state of the organization report and did talk about the challenges presented by COVID. And we were frankly still dealing with how to help chapters put on programs and communicate whatever they needed to communicate. And there were a lot of kinks along the way, but what I think is much better now. Mm-hmm. Very happy to see how well things are working. Janice Hand reported that out of 24 tasks, actually, in the strategic plan, 24 tasks have been completed and an additional 15 were underway, which was pretty close to everything in that plan. We heard from outgoing treasurer and incoming treasurer on a membership and financial stats. At the time, our membership was dynamic, as Carl put it, which meant it was going up and down, but revenue was still exceeding expenses. So we were still in good shape in that respect, but it was due in part to being understaffed, which is not always such a good thing. And I was privileged to be a part of the team that hired our executive director, and we were in the final stages at the time, and I was so glad that we found Jan Ainsworth and she wanted the job, and it's been a really wonderful partnership. Okay. We, Matt, reported on the photo contest. Matthew Ross and Pam Todd also reported that we had received an extension to complete additional native plant garden designs as part of our grant from the Stanley Smith Horticultural Trust, which was really good news because we could have produced as few as 4 designs and we produced 8 or 9. I think it's 9. And then the best part of the meeting is always for me, listening to chapters, hearing what they're doing, learning what their concerns are, and also hearing how they're doing new things, because there's an enormous amount of good work going on out there and a lot of creativity, and there just wouldn't be a Wild Ones without them. And we finished off about noon.
I move that we accept the minutes as read.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, you can indicate in the chat box your approval, to say aye or nay. Kind of odd. So all those in favor, please indicate in the chat box your aye.
Excellent.
I'm thinking the motion's gonna carry.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you. So also, as I was onboarding and, you know, getting acclimated to the challenges that we've had in 2020, the board was sharing with me some survey results that had been collected prior to last year's annual meeting. And here's a bullet point list of the things that chapters had shared that would be helpful as we were dealing with, you know, the challenges in 2020. So HD, which is honorary director, webinars and more digital programming, the expansion of native garden designs of regions, extending Zoom license capacity and Zoom training, updating the website, improving membership account website, and then networking and some youth curriculum. And over the last year, those are things that have really driven a lot of the work that we've been doing. So we've been trying to produce as much programming as possible. So we've had some Meet the Designer events and some webinars that you're gonna hear more about later. We had some, like Rita mentioned, we were on the hook for 4 designs as our commitment to the grant that we had received, and we actually produced 9. And then we increased, I think we had 2 or 3 Zoom licenses when I joined, and we now have 9 available for chapters to be using. We'll talk about wildones.org website towards the end of the presentation today. Most of you should have seen that the membership account website's updated. You should have had to log in to reach this meeting link. And then we did several sessions of what we called Sip and Sits and Zoom and Blooms to provide Zoom training, networking opportunities with chapters, and so forth. So youth curriculum, that's something that we are excited to bring back as far as the Seeds for Education program this year. But we're definitely interested in hearing what chapters or ideas that are out there are already doing, because that's definitely an opportunity to engage our youth in our mission and getting them understanding the impact of native plants and what we all do. Okay, so we're going to go into the meat of all of the fun stuff that Wild Ones has done in the last 12 months. And the first thing is going to be our financials. And financials are probably most people's least favorite topic. So I've tried to make this as painless as possible and really just cut to the chase on how the organization's doing. So total revenue in 2020 increased 16% compared to 2019. That was just about $38,000. Our total expenses increased by 10% compared to 2019, which it's very typical to see, you know, expenses increase year over year. The thing we want to keep in mind is we expected them to increase more. We were actually about $65,000 under budget, and that was due to some payroll, you know, so we were understaffed at the time. There were some changes at the national staff. So we ended the year at $125,000 net revenue. I'm going to call that operating gain. What that means is that's just money left over at the end of the year. We'll talk more about what happens to that in a minute. So far 2021, our total revenue year over year is 15%. That's just about $19,000 to date. And our total expenses have increased by 112%. And that number sounds really scary, but I want you to remember that with the staffing issues that we had last year, we should have had, you know, $65,000 or more or so added into 2020's expenses. So that number would be, you know, somewhere around 40% compared to the 112, if that was the case. Additionally, we had some grant expenses that were not a part of typical spending. So we had Native Garden Design expenses included in there. We had our one-time membership account update. And then we've also had some contracted services that we've brought on board that have been previously worked with volunteer hours. So there's the reason for the change. Right now, we're sitting at about $4,600 in net revenue, or again, money left over if our year ended today. But by the end of the year, we are expecting that to be completely balanced, which means just as much money came into the organization as money came out of the organization. So going back to 2020, you know, I had said there's $125,000 left over after the year. What happens to that? So that's conversations that we're actually engaging in now and over the next few weeks as I start looking at what our upcoming, you know, next year looks like and beyond as far as what we want to accomplish as an organization. But there's two primary, you know, uses for those dollars. There is reserves, which organizations should always have. A typical reserve or a healthy reserve for any organization is about 6 to 12 months, depending on what you're really looking for and how stable your business is. We're right now, if revenue stopped coming in today, the national organization would be able to survive for about 16 months and we'd be able to pay all of our bills. After 16 months, there would be no more anything we could do. We'd have no money left in the bank. The other thing that we want to do is talk about how we can inject these funds into our mission to grow the organization and expand our reach across the United States, within our current territories, and provide more programming and educational opportunities for people to engage in. So more to come on what that's going to look like. You know, I'm starting to work on the 2022 budget in the next handful of weeks here. Okay, so excuse me, I'm going to be handing this off to Lisa, our chapter liaison, and she's going to talk about how chapters are doing.
Yes, hello everyone. Thank you, Jen. I'm filling the new role of chapter liaison, and that's going to be all about networking. Jen mentioned how important that is to connect the chapters and offer them support, because really our organizational health is dependent upon our chapter health. And so that's the space I'm going to be working in. I am so pleased to announce we have welcomed 10 new seedlings since last year. And Wild Ones is supporting the native plants in 3 new states. So Georgia, North Carolina, and Alabama all have new seedlings in them. These seedlings are taking root in both urban and rural areas. And I've spent a good portion of my time since I joined the staff connecting with the founders and getting them the resources they need. Starting a chapter should be fun, and talking about plants is fun. So we really don't want that process to be overwhelming. Many of these chapters are very near to completing the chartering process. In fact, I kept checking the email this morning because one is so on the verge. The folks in Mid-South Tennessee are so close. So we are about to announce them, but we'll have to save a slide for next year. To honor their progress. The biggest barrier I think to chartering for chapters is to get chapter officers in place, to get people to step up and serve as a chapter officer. So they need those members to step into leadership roles. And I encourage you to look at your skill sets and think about what you are most passionate about, and maybe reach out to your leadership team if you think you might be a good fit to fill one of those officer or committee roles. The fabulous programs that chapters put on, the tours and the plan sales, they don't all organize themselves. So think about ways that you might pitch in. I will make one more quick pitch, and that is to say that household memberships cover multiple household members. And so if you have a teen looking to bolster their college application, or a son or daughter in college wanting to strengthen their resume, consider encouraging them to volunteer for Wild Ones. They don't need to know anything about native plants. Most seedlings and chapters could really use some tech support. Running Zoom meetings, editing videos, updating websites. So most young people are pretty tech savvy, and where plant people might struggle a bit, young folks really do shine. So think about that if you're got someone in your household who is looking for opportunities to volunteer. Next slide. We are super excited to announce the first chapter in Pennsylvania, chartered back in January. The Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter founded in January of 2020, and the timing could not have been more challenging for them. But instead of waiting for the pandemic to pass, the founder, Jessica Schiffler, took the online plunge and connected with folks around Philadelphia via social media and hosted meetings and programs online. They chartered in January of this year and are up to 64 active members. So bravo, Southeastern Pennsylvania. If any chapter board members attending today are challenged by how to host an online meeting, I encourage you to check out the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter's YouTube channel. They've got all their meetings online. Next slide. 2020, as Rita said, as Sally said, as everyone has echoed, 2020 was rough. And three chapters did decharter due to the challenges that they faced and could not be overcome. We extend our sincere thanks for the contributions made by members to the Wild Ones Central Arkansas, Fernwood, Michigan, and the Driftless Wisconsin chapters. We never want to see a chapter struggle, and we never want to see one disband. When this happens, we do our best to understand the circumstances and identify how to prevent that outcome in the future. Next slide. I want to give a big shout out to the St. Louis chapter. They reached 300 members this month. And it should be noted that though they founded in 1997, they're a well-established chapter, they have seen a 30% growth in membership over the last 10 months. And many chapters across the country are seeing a surge in membership. Native plants are trending, and people are hungry for resources on how and why to plant native gardens. Many chapters are a little light in leadership and could use some help. So if you are looking for ways to make an impact beyond your own garden, I encourage you to volunteer to support your local chapter. Next slide. We would like to take a moment to recognize the chapters that received special recognition in their communities. These awards were reported in the 2020 State of the Chapter Reports. The Southern Kentucky chapter received the Earth Week 2020 Habitat Hero Award from the Lost River Cave for being the group that donated the most volunteer hours. And the Wild Ones Mid-Missouri was a chapter was honored with the Columbia Environmental Stewardship Award. Congratulations to these chapters and to their members. Next slide. So Wild Ones has 58 chartered chapters and 12 seedlings across 20 states. Just in the past few weeks, we've had inquiries come in from Vermont, South Carolina, and Oklahoma, Wyoming, and Texas. Wild Ones is growing fast. So keep opening those newsletters to learn about new chapters and seedlings as they take root. If you have family living near any of these dots, share your passion with them and encourage them to join Wild Ones. I'm going to pass the virtual stage off to Rachel, who will share some information about our members.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here. I am the membership coordinator, so I'll be sharing some awesome membership, big news. So we are over 5,500 members as of this week. That is a 36% increase over 2020. And we are currently averaging about 223 members each month. So y'all are doing, at the chapter level, you guys are doing great things to spread and share Wild Ones with everybody. So I'm super excited for what's going on in our membership. This growth has been hard over COVID and everything, but chapter's been super flexible in adjusting their programming and meetings to accommodate social distancing and safety restrictions, which allow members to continually, engage in these meetings. So I know some chapters have been able over the summer to do some awesome outside events. So there's a good balance and there's growth has been amazing. We've also paired with some awesome Wild Ones programs like the Native Garden Designs and the Meat Designers webinars that were released in 2020. And so this has made Wild Ones really attractive to new members. We've had such growth with the Native Garden Design. The boom this spring was well over a couple of months of 300 members, so each month. So that was really awesome. Next slide. So we have welcomed 14 new lifetime members since last year. And we just want to thank these members for making this lasting commitment to Wild Ones and our mission. It is so important. We spread that and there have been these awesome members that have taken that next step commitment. Next slide. We have 24, so we almost doubled our business members. 24 new and returning business members. That's 22 more business members than last year, that are many of which are not returning, many of which are brand new to the organization. And this week, we had our very first wildest business member. So the highest level of business member, we've never had one before in all of history. This list of business members pretty much comprises of nurseries, seed distributors, landscapers who support our mission. These members are featured in our journal. And so it's a great way for our members to connect you all, to go into our journal, check out all of our business members, support them. And if you, I'm going to throw a pitch here, if you know of any business members or nurseries that you, Native Garden Nursery, that you go to, any sort of like-minded Wild Ones type businesses, we would love to have them join our Wild Ones family. Next slide. We have affiliate members as a different level of membership, and they are individuals or nonprofit organizations that have parallel missions that support Wild Ones. And this, over the past year, we've had 34 new and returning affiliate members. So when an affiliate member joins or renews during a certain journal, we have four journals that come out, they are featured in the journal once a year. So keep an eye out for your affiliate partners and members. A lot of them are organizations that you can go to, arboretums and other groups that are like-minded. So it might be another way to connect with some other members and other people who may be not a Wild Ones member. Next slide. We have a partner at larges. So partner at large or member at large, some people call them, we call them PALs. are members that are not a part of a local chapter because they may not have a local chapter near them. And I just listed some states here. We have a long list of states that have members in them that don't have chapters. So a plug to help Lisa as our chapter liaison in Seedlings. We would love to see Seedlings all across the United States. And hopefully we will see chapters grow in these states as we see members and partner at larges. So if you know of anybody or, you know, you can in those states, but, hey, there we have some Wild One members and we'd love to get a seedling started in your area. And last but not least, we launched in January, a new system, the membership account area. It replaced the members only and we migrated. So you should have had to log in to your member account this morning to join this meeting. You can imagine, you can manage your account information. You can access some members only content and meetings and check. You can also print your membership card in here and you can view to see who your current chapter officers are. So there will be more stuff added hopefully in the future, but it's a lot, I would say it's a really big upgrade from our old system. Member recognition. So we, each year we have our chapters submit SOCRs, we call them state of the chapter reports, and they were able to submit some member recognition that the chapters wanted to share with the national organization. And we asked some chapter presidents to share some member recognition. So this is where we got some of this information. So we're just going to take a moment to recognize a handful of Wild Ones members. John Plouffe from the Gibson Woods chapter was awarded the Bringing Home Nature Award. Peggy Foster from the Gibson Woods chapter was awarded a Volunteer of the Year Award. Hal Mann from the Oak Openings chapter was named an Outstanding Volunteer. He's a past president and still on the board. He helps create chapter newsletters. Charlotte Pyle from Mountain Laurel chapter received the 2020 Les Maroff Award and from Connecticut Invasive Plant Working Group. And then last but not least, Christine Gust and our very own Lisa Olson from the Front Range chapter were honored with the Inter-Neighborhood Cooperation from the Neighborhood Star Awards for their efforts in downtown Denver. And we are now going to be transitioning over to the heart of Wild Ones, our mission, and our Wild Ones programs. I help, I'm in charge of the Butterfly Garden program. And in the past year, we have had 135 gardens certified through pre-certified or Certify Your Garden registrations. When you do send in a submission to certify your garden, it is registered with the National Pollinator Garden Network, which now has over 1 million butterfly gardens. So that is an awesome way to let everybody know where your garden is. You can certify your garden if you have not done that already by going to our national website and wildones.org and then /certify-your-garden. And Katie will now be sharing the rest of our very exciting program.
Hi, everyone. I hope you've been following along this past year and are familiar with our Native Garden Design program that we were proud to launch back in January that was supported by a grant from the Stanley Smith Horticultural Trust. Last month, we introduced two more designs for the Boston area and Denver Front Range, in addition to the original 7 that we launched in January, for a total of 9 designs that are available for the public to download and use. The Native Garden Design Program as a whole has been extremely successful this past year. Since January 1st, we have had 32,000 new visitors to the Native Garden Design section of our website, and we have had nearly 10,000 combined downloads of the designs and over 3,000 people register to attend 3 different Meet the Designers webinars that focus on sharing information about the designs and how they were created. Webinar recordings from these events have been received very well as well. They have about 2,300 total views on our YouTube channel. And we wanted to share with you that we've also submitted a grant proposal to the Stanley Smith Horticultural Trust to further this program in 2022. So we are looking forward to hearing back from that in the coming months. A part of the Native Guard Design Program we have been fortunate to add is the Meet the Designers webinars. These events are a great opportunity to hear how the professional designers approach creating their designs and to ask them questions. So we hope you join us in September for the Meet the Designers of Boston with the Boston designers, Josh Altidore and Andy Brand. And make sure you sign up before registration closes kind of close to the middle of September. And then the Seeds for Education program is now accepting applications. After being paused due to COVID in 2020, we are excited to reinstate this impactful program for wild ones. So please share this opportunity with any local schools, nature centers, after school care programs, or community or youth centers, or faith-based groups that you are aware of who would be applicable for this grant. To apply, organizations just must be located in the United States or be a territory of the United States. And please just keep in mind that any funds used have to be spent on native plants or seeds. And then we wanted to just highlight and congratulate our photo contest winners from 2020. As we stated earlier in the chat, many of the photos that you see in this presentation today are from past photo contests that members were kind enough to submit. So we had over 150 entries in last year's contest, and we are proud to recognize the following winners from 2020. Abby Rexar in Photos by Kids, Arlene Kerr in Scenery, Kathy Street for Natural Landscaping, Joan Brandwine for Best in Show, Flora and Pollinator categories, and Kim Smith was the recipient of the People's Choice Award. And all of those entries can still be viewed out on our public website if you want to go back and see all these gorgeous pictures. And if you are not a follower on our Instagram account, please go out there and follow us because we are constantly sharing these pictures throughout the year from all of our past contests. And speaking of the photo contest, the 2021 photo contest is going on right now. And we have a little over 100 entries so far. And there are still a few days left to submit your entries. You need to have them in by August 31st. And we really hope that you go out and share your photos with us. When you participate in this contest, you are helping Wild Ones further our mission. We really depend on using these photos in our publications and presentations and on our website to help inspire others to learn about native plants and natural landscaping. We also have a number of online educational events coming up this fall and winter. We have, besides Meet the Designer webinars, we have several honorary director presentations, one from Lifetime Honorary Director Doug Tallamy, Dr. Doug Tallamy, and one from Honorary Director Heather Holm. And each will be sharing from their recently published books, The Nature of Oaks and Wasps, respectively. So please watch online for those registrations to go live. They will be published on our website, on social media, and also through email. Previous presentations from Dr. Tallamy and Heather Holm have been extremely successful. They've received over 8.5 views on our YouTube channel, so they're extremely popular, and you will want to make sure to register as soon as it opens up. In addition to honorary directors' webinars, we also have some guest speakers that will be coming up too, including Larry Wiener of New Directions in the American Landscape and Wild Ones board member Matthew Ross of Longwood Gardens. Again, this registration will be opening on our website, social media, and through email. You'll just wanna be paying attention for those, but make sure you mark those dates on your calendars. And then we also wanted to highlight that you may have noticed on our website, we have a couple of proud partners. We have gained a new partner in 2021 with Two Thirds for the Birds. They are a community of organizations that have joined alliances to promote native plants to help support and revive healthy bird populations. And in addition to Two Thirds for the Birds, we also continue our partnership with Monarch Joint Venture to conserve the monarch butterfly populations and migrations. You can find links to both of these partners on wildones.org. And then we have our quarterly Wild Ones Journal, which is published online, which I'm sure you all are very familiar with. We are always looking for quality content to share with our members in the journal. So if you are a subject matter expert on anything related to native plants, or have a garden transformation, or are just proud of your garden, or have an article request that you'd like us to research and share about in the journal, please reach out to Barb Schmitz. Her email is included, and she will do her best to include that information. And then Lena Song. We had an opportunity this year to connect our mission with Lena. She is a high school student in Virginia who produced a really amazing short film, stop motion film, and her story and message are spot on with the Wild Ones mission to promote environmentally sound landscaping. It has been an honor to work with Lena in sharing this important message, and we invite you to go out to YouTube and watch her amazing film. To date, she's had over 1,000 views on the Wild Ones YouTube channel. So we also have an interview with board member Laura Stamrow and Lena that's really great to check out, which talks about how Lena was inspired to create this film, and she has a really neat backstory. So if you get a minute, go ahead and watch those her short film and the interview with Loris. And then we've also had a partnership with New Directions in the American Landscape over the past year, and hopefully you've had the opportunity to participate in some of their educational webinars. And we have a couple listed here that are up and coming that you are still able to participate in. And now I'm going to turn it back over to Jen, who's going to talk about programs going into 2021 and 2022.
Yeah, so I mentioned when we're talking about the financial discussion that we have a little bit of resources that we might be able to put towards some growth or mission, increasing our mission delivery. So some of those things that we're looking at and considering is an exploration of our brand and doing a refresh of that. And when we think about our brand, it's who we are, how do we talk about ourselves, and how do we present ourselves? So that includes things like language that we're using. It includes things like how our website looks. So I know we all see that there's a lot of opportunity to update our website. We're just looking at the best way to go about doing that. We also want to, you know, with the native garden design being highly successful, we want to expand on that. So we did apply for some additional grant funding that we'll find out in the next couple of months if we've received. For some reason, if we weren't considered for that, how can we continue to grow that program? We also want to make sure we're increasing inclusivity for the Seeds of Education program. So it's not just schools, it's a broad range of different youth-serving organizations. We want to make sure that we're reaching those folks so that they know that this resource is available. We're inviting them to come and apply. We also want to evolve our honorary director and guest speaker program so that we're consistently providing members with, you know, the latest and greatest kind of research or topics that might be going on out there so that we can participate in all, you know, become aware of what's going out in the native plant movement. And then the last thing is with Lisa's role, we really want to provide support to developing chapters, whether they're existing or seedlings. We have a lot of opportunity to be connecting chapters with each other, provide some resources to help chapter officers and board members be successful. So we're looking at some chapter leadership development in the upcoming, you know, several months to a year. So we're in the final stretch of the meeting today. So I'm going to do a couple of plugs and then we'll open it up for questions. So get ready to interact. We have several social media web sites, so please follow us. We have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. All of those links will be dropped in the chat, and then our social media names are on the slide here. We do have 10,000 followers on Facebook and 2,900 Instagram followers. So there's a lot of folks out there that you can be connecting with. Join our Facebook private discussion plant or native plant group. We have currently over 1,300 members, and we are always looking for folks to volunteer moderating. So if you would be interested in doing that, you can email Katie, and her email address will be dropped in the chat as well, and she can get you set up to help moderate. And then lastly, if you need support for anything, if you have questions, comments, you want to share a concern or a celebration that you have, you can email us at support@wildones.org. What's that good? That's our, should be your first line of defense to go to, because that's going to send a notification to the entire national staff that we can address or follow up with you appropriately. And then always my virtual door is open. If you have something that you want to share with me, you can email me directly. I will get your email. It might take me a little bit of time to get back to you within the couple of days, but you are always welcome to reach out to me regarding any kind of topic that you would like to share. Okay, so I would like to open it up for questions and then address anything that you have comments on. So remember to unmute yourself and feel free to speak.
Jen, if we're done with the slides, maybe
stop sharing.
Stop sharing just so that, yeah, we see more faces. Thank you.
Yeah. And I've been trying to track the chat. Did everything get addressed in there for those of you who were watching as it was going?
I saw a question pop up. I think David mentioned we're working on it. It was whether or not chapters or members would have access to the photos that were mentioned when we were talking about the photo contest. The answer is yes. That is a piece that we are working to build out in terms of a library of photos that chapters will have access to. It's not going to be instantaneous. So again, if you are putting together a presentation or, you know, putting together a newsletter and going, oh, if only I had a picture of this, reach out, because odds are we have a photo that we could share with you. And so if we don't know, we can't respond. So reach out, say, hey, I need help with this. And do you have any photos you could share? And if we have them in our library, we are more than happy to get this to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Lisa, Otis, you have a question?
Well, that was one of my questions. And I'm glad to hear that the photos will be available because they are beautiful. And yes, I think photos, when you put it into newsletters, communication pieces, that draws people in. And so I look forward to seeing that. Other question, just going back to a subject that we have talked about before, and that's chapter email. Just haven't heard any update on that, or is there an update? You know, the kind of central chapter email that we can use versus like MailChimp or Constant Comment.
Yeah. So we, in chapter resource training, we've asked for some volunteers to be using that system. So we've got a few folks who are utilizing that. We're still working through finalizing, making sure everything's smooth there, but we don't anticipate any barriers to be able to roll that out to all chapters.
Excellent. It's in the works. Yay. Yay. That'll help communication greatly. You know, in my case, I work full time. And so I end up at 11 o'clock at night, you know, going to MailChimp and then trying to get it all done. So that will be a welcome change. Thank you very much for developing that.
Any other questions? Yeah, Jim.
So I saw a question in the chat about assistance, national's assistance with local code violations. As some of you may know, some of the less enlightened cities, including my neighboring city of Chicago, have ordinances that consider native plants as weeds. Mm-hmm. So people that plant native plants in their front yards are often violating weed ordinances. And so these ordinances are very local. They vary by municipalities. And so it's impossible to address them, you know, in one fell swoop. But I would say, you know, we have a new team of lawyers formed called the Wild Lawyers, which Jen will be rolling that out. But I'm making the announcement here.
Yeah.
And so that is something that the Wild Lawyers, you know, basically the purpose of the Wild Lawyers is to help chapters with these kinds of questions like local weed ordinances. So if you have that come up, there'll be a, you can just let Jen know you have that question, or there'll be a help ticket she's setting up, and perhaps the Wild Lawyers can look into that for you, at least to give you some ideas of what the scope of the ordinance is, and maybe some backup even in terms of changing your ordinance, going to your local officials and educating them as to why native plants are not weeds and that they actually should be putting more of them in there.
And Jim, you are taking more offers of wild lawyers, correct?
Yes, thank you, Sally. Yes, any member who's a lawyer who wants to join the team of wild lawyers, please email me at jlp@wildones.org and we'll get you in the saddle with the other wild lawyers, and we're gonna have a grand time. So thank you.
Awesome, thanks Jim. All right, Maya?
Calling on me. So I'm a relatively new member here in the new chapter, Southeast Pennsylvania. And the question I have is whether the national organization is doing anything to help draft sample legislation for things like banning Bradford pears, just as an example, or other invasive weed legislation that might be a possibility. Thank you.
Yeah, we are, we're actually in conversations of what we can do to support chapters with that. So more to come hopefully soon, but that's an active conversation that we're continuing to have.
Hey, Jen.
Yeah.
I'd like to offer Maya, I'm in the Southeastern Pennsylvania as well. We have a very active group. Two of us from the chapter leadership pushing state of Pennsylvania to ban invasive. So we can reach out locally and get you involved in that. It's very active and we've made a little progress this year.
Great, count me in.
Lydia. You gotta unmute yourself. There you go.
Hi, okay, I was typing in a follow-up for Jim in chat, and another issue that came to my mind with regard is the preservation of native street trees and, you know, maybe materials that would help citizens, you know, support advocacy against unnecessary cutting down of street trees, particularly native trees, or replanting street trees using, preferring natives over some of the more commonly used exotics. The second question or issue I wanted to just comment on is I would really love to see, as you mentioned earlier in your strategic plan, is more materials that we could share with schools, youth groups, you know, to educate kids. We have a lot of interest in our area from, even during COVID, from Girl Scout troops, for example, even if schools were not, you know, able to really find the resources to, you know, do native plant programs. And actually our chapter did sponsor our own local sort of version of a Seeds for Education, because we really wanted to be able to fund any youth group that had the wherewithal to try to do something last year. And we did give two awards. Mm. So as we learn and work with these, our award winners, I'm realizing that it would be so helpful to have learning modules and age appropriate, you know, learning materials that we could give to schools and other children's groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Lydia. We will, go ahead, Sally.
Yeah, can I just address the street tree issue a little bit? That is really local, and I would encourage that passing the buck, because I'm on the Chattanooga Tree Commission, have been for many years, and that is one of the major advocacy points that, and the Tree Commission has changed remarkably. I, you know, starting with even outreach to citizens in providing tree selection lists and removing from the tree selection list things like golden rain tree and, you know, I think Bradford pear has been off for a while, but I would really encourage chapters to see those kind of opportunities as something you can do on the local level, because, you know, it does get very species and region specific. But I would love, you know, something we're struggling with, and I don't know the answer, is like the whole landscape ordinance issue, like tree protection ordinances. I'm not sure if there's someone who's already got, I know it's been addressed city by city. And that may be a place where chapters can bubble up information and share with the entire group. So anyway, it's a tough one. It gets very technical. You're fighting City Hall, literally. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something I'd love to know what the best way to approach it would be.
I have a thought on that, Sally, since I've served for about a decade with the city border commission. Don't see it as fighting City Hall, seeing as offering your expertise to city council members and sometimes staff who aren't as knowledgeable, don't realize that some things are an issue when they are.
Yeah, and usually it's fighting the engineers, the city engineers, right. And the developers. So anyway, in a kind way, negotiating. There we go, negotiating.
Rita, I think you're wanting to say something, but you're still muted.
So sorry. One thing that comes up a lot are people who live in homeowners associations. And Minnesota recently had legislation that homeowners associations or HOAs could not forbid people from putting solar panels on their homes. And it just struck me, why don't we add they can't forbid the use of native plants? So I will be talking to my legislators and other friends that are likely to support that in the Minnesota Senate and House. Because I think that it's got a shot.
We've already done that in Maryland.
Great.
Maryland has just achieved that.
I would love to see that legislation, yeah.
Awesome. We have a couple.
It occurs to me, you know, there's a lot of expertise in the membership, and maybe something that we should do at the national level is organize people's experiences in terms of dealing with their local tree ordinances, their local native plant ordinances, and get strategies and tips on how to approach that, and maybe even some kind of model ordinance that people could use as a baseline.
Yeah, almost like an advocacy corner on the website in the membership area, where those who have had successful advocacy results or examples of legislation or who they contacted in their area, all of those things are a great starting point, because many of us don't even know, who do you call first? Who do you petition first? So it would be a great resource if we could share across the country those success stories.
Excellent.
This is Ruth Bowell in the Dayton area. And a few years ago, we had a series of tornadoes that came through and took out a lot of houses, but took out a lot of trees as well. And so I had posted in the chat, one of our Wild Ones members came across this chapter or this organization called Retreat. And she was excited because they said they would be planting native plants. Native trees that would be replacing those for homeowners. And then she reviewed the list of trees. And there's several that are not even from the US or from North America. Yeah. So they claimed that they had received the list of recommended species from the local ISA. And when we met the other night as board chapter officers, we thought maybe we should contact National to see if there could be, you know, something, since Retreat seems to be a national organization. And of course, the weather is not going to get any better anywhere in the country. You know, if that would be something, maybe we could work with them to make those recommendations on trees. They either need to drop native from their language or they probably should really work with someone more in tune with native species.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you.
Want to jump to Anita. You had something that you wanted to share, ask.
Hi there, I'm Anita from Melbourne, Florida. Nice to meet you, wild ones. I am thinking about all the new areas that are growing, or new cities being built in Florida, new areas where they're destroying native plants and they're putting houses every place. And it always makes me wonder when they have these little bitty medians in a road and then they put St. Augustine grass there instead of native plants. So is there any place on Wild Ones where there's something that we could use wherever we are in the country and take it to our local, in our case it would be commissioners or city council people, and give them a list and say when you're planting, you know, when you want it, do something new on a street, can you please put native plants along there rather than more grass with more sprinklers? And it just really is very frustrating to see all that non-native grass all over the place.
Yeah, good question. So Lisa, do you have a comment on what Anita just said, or is it something else?
I have two comments on what Anita just said. The city of Port Washington, Wisconsin, has recently partnered with a nonprofit group, the World Bird Migratory Observatory, and they have partnered with them to encourage residents to plant native plants in their yards, but they've also taken the initiative to start planting, establishing pollinator gardens throughout public lands in the town or in the city. So perhaps looking at their model, and how they started that would be helpful. I'm not quite sure. I know the person that is like the contact person there. If anyone's interested, let me know. You can give me a shout, wildoneodis, O-D-D-I-S, at gmail.org. But it's a great program. Second thing was going back to the HOAs. We have one group in particular, a member and some of her neighbors were interested in native plants on their berms around their condo development. And they actually got there just by, you know, negotiating with the HOA committee approval to go ahead and plant native plants. And they're doing that rather than the other options of mowing or of planting non-natives or just killing everything off. So yay to them that, you know, I think going local and, you know, I had materials, presentations, slides, you know, that I gave to the members so that she could share that with the committee, and it worked. Thank you.
So I think kind of the overarching theme here that there are resources, even though there are many specific local oriented, you know, topics, there's a lot of maybe approaches or content that we can be helping provide chapters and members in engaging these conversations. Like there's a question in the chat about, you know, planting common milkweed along highways. I think there's a great opportunity for that.
Yeah, and I was going to say that Michelle notes, and it is true with the Stanley Smith round two, yes, that we're expanding the definition of garden plans to include such things as, well, I call them hell strips, but that's a very technical term. But, you know, just to, especially when Stanley Smith wanted more grants that address climate resilience. So that would include potentially rain gardens and other public spaces, like around parking lots of churches and so forth. So we really are looking at other design possibilities. Now, of course, what you put in Florida is going to be different from what you put in Texas. Mm-hmm. So we will need to draw on regional expertise, both in terms of design and species. So you start with a you start with a little acorn of an idea, and from that you grow a mighty white oak tree, right? So yeah. that's what we're doing. We're growing this original concept and expanding on areas it will address.
All right, so we are at a little past quarter after 11. Thank you all for joining today. Again, I'm just going to reiterate that you can reach us multiple different ways and support, you know, at wildones.org, or you can reach out to me directly. We will be uploading and sharing all of the links that we shared today in the coming days or early next week in your membership account. So thanks again for coming. I hope you all have a fabulous, wonderful rest of your Saturday, and appreciate everything you guys are doing and all of your support for our mission.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Stay wild.
Yes, stay wild.